Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, new figures just issued have shown a significant increase in the amount of home births in Ireland, and this seems to be part of a trend that's been happening over the past few years. Women who give home at birth also have consistently reported a greater degree of satisfaction with that decision. So what do expectant families need to do to prepare for one? Chrissia Lynch is chair of the Association for Improvements in Maternity Services in Ireland. Chrissia, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Has the increase, was that anything to do with COVID?
Yes, absolutely. We started to see an increase in home birth choices by women during that COVID time, when a lot of people understandably didn't necessarily want to go into a hospital setting, just as per infection issues. And then we also saw that when people were going in, you may remember that sometimes you weren't able to have a partner with you. So for some women, that was really important to have a partner with them. So they opted for a home birth. And that sort of really started the upward trend, I think.
Yeah. And so if a person is even considering a home birth, what kind of preparation goes into that?
Well, first of all, they have to get approved, because home birth isn't for everybody. It's not safe for everybody. We have a very safe home birth service in Ireland that requires people to jump through quite a lot of hoops. So the very first thing they need to do is they need to be assessed, and they're usually assessed primarily by a midwife and then possibly by an obstetrician if required. And they're assessed in terms of their physical suitability, in terms of whether they're too far or too close to, well, not too close, but too far away from a hospital might be another thing, and whether there's a midwife in their area. So they have to jump through all those hoops first. And then pretty much at every visit, they're kind of reassessed again, because things change in pregnancy. So you might have been suitable perhaps on your first visit, but then on your subsequent visit, maybe you've developed a condition and that's no longer really considered a safe thing for you to do, to have a home birth. Mm. So a lot of hoop jumping first.
Yes. And in terms of living within the vicinity of a hospital, is there like a limit? You have to be within a 30-minute drive or something like that?
Well, I know Dublin best, because that's where I live and that's where I support people. And there's a blue light distance of 30 minutes in Dublin. So that means that it's not like sort of getting into your car and looking up Google and thinking, OK, let's just put in 30 minutes. It's basically an ambulance tearing up the M50 at super speed with the lights flashing for 30 minutes. So that's a little bit further away than you or I getting into our jalopies and driving for 30 minutes.
Yeah. And I suppose one thing is that if it's a home birth, there won't be an epidural.
No. So I guess when you ask me about how do people prepare, most people who come to home birth have quite a good idea that that's what they want. Maybe they had a previous home birth, maybe a sister or friend or somebody had a great experience. Maybe they had a poor experience in hospital, or maybe it's a lifestyle choice. Maybe they have children that have absolutely nobody to mind, or they don't trust anyone to mind them. So they have an idea already that home birth is something that they would like. And then most people would know, you know, many months ahead. And they would use that time then perhaps to prepare themselves emotionally, mentally. So they might do things like hypnobirthing. They might attend pregnancy yoga classes. They might work on their breathing. They might get lots of little tips and tools. And there are also pharmacological things that you can have at home. So the midwife will bring gas and air with them. So it's not as if you have absolutely nothing, but mostly people do prepare because they know that if it's too much for them, they are going into hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, a reasonable proportion of people will find that, you know, they started off thinking, oh, it's going to be, I read on the internet, it's only going to be 6 hours. And then, of course, it's longer than that. And their midwife will talk to them and say, look, you know, it is going on a little bit. And what do you feel? Do you feel you might like to go to hospital and have an epidural? And some women might say they do. And others will say, no, I think I'm okay to keep going. And provided that's within a safe time frame, they might stay at home. So just because you choose a home birth initially, you know, no one comes with a bunch of chains and chains you to a radio.
Yes, of
you
course.
Can't leave. You know, yeah. You can go to a hospital at any point if you feel that that's something you'd like to do at this point in time.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, because the audit from 2022 says 432 women registered for a home birth, 218 ultimately gave birth at home, which would imply that about half or so of those women change their minds at some stage in that process.
Yeah, exactly. So some women, for example, things will have happened to them antenatally. Let's say their baby goes breech. Instead of, you know, obligingly sitting with their head down, they've decided to sit with their bum down. So, you know, that's not something, that's an obstetric birth or may even be a cesarean section. So people will know that ahead of time and they will progress antenatally off the home birth register. But I will say that even if people end up birthing in hospital, their home birth care that the HSE offers, and we probably should say something about that, it does offer them fabulous postnatal care. So even if a woman ends up, for example, requiring a cesarean section in hospital, when they come home, because they're still essentially on the home birth books and they've got a midwife who's looking after them at home, that midwife will come to them for between 5 and 10 days afterwards and give them postnatal care at home. So, you know, even though the birth itself may not happen in the home, the model of care, which is a community-based model of care, will still include postnatal care at home, which is vital, you know, for being a new mom, for settling in, for getting breastfeeding going.
Yeah, absolutely. And so on the day, if the birth, if everything's, you know, everything's go and the birth had taken place at home, it's the midwife. It's just one midwife that turns up.
Two midwives.
Oh, right. Okay.
Two midwives come. Yeah, absolutely. We have a rule of two midwives coming. So the first midwife will usually turn up, first of all, to see, you know, here's Krisha, she's phoned me up. Is she really in labor or does she just have a twinge, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, she'll come along and she'll just see how you are. And she may say, you know, this is very early days. How do you feel? Maybe you'd like me to go away and come back in an hour or two and just check you again. Or she might say, yeah, you're well on your way. So I'm going to stay here and I'm going to call my colleague. So one midwife will come initially to make the initial appraisal. And then if they feel that, you know, birth is happening, it's moving in that direction, then a second midwife comes and they bring a huge amount of equipment with them. They bring everything to support any circumstance that might happen at home for a mum or a baby. They bring oxygen, they bring masks, they bring drips, they bring all sorts of different types of drugs and all of this kind of stuff. And they lay it all out in the house and they have it all there ready. So midwives are trained in full neonatal resuscitation in the same way that midwives in hospitals and doctors in hospitals would be trained as well. So, you know, it's a very safe thing. If a midwife feels that she's not liking something or he is not liking something, they will suggest a transfer during the early part of labor.
Yeah.
But of course, if things go well, if things are going well, then the birth continues. And your researcher said to me, oh, do people have their babies in their bedrooms? And I would think actually that's probably the least likely place for anyone to have a baby. You know, a lot of people choose to have their baby in a pool, in a birthing pool. So water birth is an option at home. home. Other people will just make a comfy space and, you know, there'll be all sorts of liners and things around to make sure that nothing, you know, ideally you wouldn't have a white sofa with lots of white towels around, you know. So, you know, there are going to be covers and things like that to make sure that nothing gets damaged at home. But most mothers do tend to give birth usually in their living rooms or downstairs, and maybe they have a yoga mat or something like that. And then they come upstairs to bed and there is nothing. So people tell me there is nothing more gratifying than coming into your own bed with your newborn baby.
Yeah. Now, having said all that, compared to the amount of births, like the 218 gave birth at home, that's 0.4% of all births. If the trend continues, Chrystia, and you know, for each home birth, you know, you need two midwives there. Do we have the resources to facilitate that at the moment?
Well, the reason I think that we only have 0.8 starting off and, you know, that even smaller number again achieving a home birth is because we haven't put our investment into community midwifery and community care. We have a national maternity strategy which ran from when Leah Varadkar was Minister of Health. So I think it was about 2016. And one of the key recommendations of that was that we need more choices because, you know, birth is not sickness. Giving birth is not something that you do because you're unwell. It's a natural thing. A normal progression of life. So people are more than entitled to choose how they would like that to happen. And people tend to choose things that make them feel safe. So for some people, they're going to feel really safe in hospital. There's loads of machines and there's people in white coats. Other people are just going to feel really, really safe if they have a planned cesarean section.
Sure.
And then for other people, they're going to feel really safe if they're in an environment that is their own and they feel comfortable in. So they want to be in a more homely environment, possibly in their home. And in our strategy, we said we need to provide more choices and we need to provide more choices for home births. We need to provide more sort of low-tech choices because we went very, very high-tech in the 70s. You know, we loved that machine that went ping and we really went that way in the 70s. And, you know, if you go across to Northern Ireland, you'll see that they have a lot more low-tech. You just have to skip across the border and there's birth centres everywhere. And we don't even have one birth centre in Ireland. So do we have the resources? Well, we have policies and we have agreed policies in the higher echelons of government to make provision for this. So really, the reason that the numbers are what they are is because we don't have the resources. The resources aren't there. We need to actually put the money where the strategy says the money ought to go and put those resources there. And as Kevin Costner says, the people will come because they will come.
Chrystia, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Chrystia Lynch there, chairperson of the Association for Improvements in Maternity Services in Ireland. One texter says, what about siblings attending the home birth? My nephew, who is 8, attended the birth of his sister at home and I felt it must be traumatic for him. Well, I suppose that's one of those things that a parent has to decide whether they think it's traumatic or not. I imagine if there's a kid, some kids might find it absolutely fascinating, but I suppose if there's another parent there or a responsible adult who might keep an eye on younger kids just to see how they're, you know, how they're going for that and maybe bring them into another room if they feel it's too much for them. Craig says, my daughter had a home birth 3 years ago. She never saw a doctor or a midwife or asked anyone's permission. She just did it with her partner and sister. Totally natural. Only downside was getting our state authorities to recognise her beautiful daughter. They were terrible. Gosh, because this was, I assume that's because there was no, there were no medical people there. Crikey. And Regina, who's in Tipperary, says, I had a home birth 34 years ago and went on to have 3 altogether. It was considered mad at the time. My daughter had a home birth with Waterford Dominoes last year and she's planning a second one this December. I did no prep aside from seeing the midwife. It's more complicated now, but it was my best decision ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip hop could be hop hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.